WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Jeremy Irons, first became known for his performance in the British TV adaptation of Brideshead Revisited, and went on to star in The French Lieutenant's Woman, The Mission, Dead Ringers, Reversal of Fortune, M. Butterfly, and Stealing Beauty. He's now starring in Man in the Iron Mask, and next month he'll open in Wayne Wang's film Chinese Box. Irons is also the star of Adrian Lyne's controversial adaptation of Vladimir Nabokov's novel Lolita, the story of Humbert Humbert, an older man romantically obsessed with a 12-year-old girl. In the movie, she's 14. Although the film has opened in Europe, no American distributor has picked it up. The distributors claim that the film is too expensive and too arty to make a profit. The filmmakers say Lolita is just too controversial for the distributors. Although we can't yet see the movie, we can hear Irons reading the unabridged version of the novel in an 8-cassette audio book. Here's a reading from the beginning of Lolita.
Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul. Lolita, the tip of the tongue taking a trip of 3 steps down the palate to tap at 3 on the teeth. Lolita. She was low, plain low in the morning, standing 4 feet 10 in one sock. She was Lola in slacks. She was Dolly at school. She was Dolores on the dotted line. But in my arms, she was always Lolita. Did she have a precursor? She did, indeed she did. In point of fact, there might have been no Lolita at all had I not loved one summer a certain initial girl child in a Princeton by the sea. Oh, when? About as many years before Lolita was born as my age was that summer. You can always count on a murderer for a fancy prose style. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit number 1 is what the seraphs, the misinformed, simple, noble-winged seraphs envied. Look at this tangle of thorns.
The movie Lolita has been accused of glorifying or condoning sex between an older man and an adolescent. I asked Jeremy Irons for his thoughts.
It's a morality tale. It is, above all, a tragic love story. What are love stories? They're usually stories between two people who are unsuited. The reason these two people are unsuited is one is 40 and one is 14. But it's more than that. It's one of the greatest books of the 20th century.
When did you first read Lolita?
I first read Lolita when Adrian Lyne asked me to play the role, which was now, I suppose, about 4 years ago. It was, of course, in my consciousness as a book. I knew about it because that name, Lolita, is really a very well-known name now. I read it to do it and then decided that I didn't want to do it because I felt that as an actor I'd played enough characters who behaved on the extreme edge of what was socially acceptable. I'd done Damage, I'd done Dead Ringers, Reversal of Fortune, exploring these people who pushed the envelope, so to speak, of what is acceptable. And this is very interesting to do. I think one of the things that storytelling is about is to show us, the audience or the reader, what happens if you behave in a way that most of us don't behave? And this points up to us why we should behave in the way we're encouraged to behave. And Lolita was another story like this, and I felt I'd played enough of those characters, and so I passed on it. And it was only Adrian Lyne, the director's passion, to have me do it. He'd looked at many different people. He talked to Warren Beatty, he talked to Hugh Grant, people of different ages, and finally he felt that I would be the ideal guy to play it. So he had great passion to have me do it. Well, I thought this is a classic book and a great role within that book, a very difficult role, because he is a man who goes beyond the pale, and yet a man who we have to, as an audience, understand. I think it's very important that one of the things that that film or plays or books do is to introduce us into other people's minds, make us, in a way, perhaps see the part of us in those characters, and to see what happens if you follow a course of action. And what happens in this story is that they neither of them have any happiness. They both die at the end, as in all good morality tales. And I feel that it's a story which, if anybody had the slightest thought of behaving in what is a criminal way, such as Humbert behaves, that seeing this story would put them off from doing that and make them keep to the straight and narrow. And in that way, I think it's a morality tale. In that way, it should be part of the gamut of subjects which are covered in any medium which is interested in life and in showing us our shared humanities and in showing us and making us as people more experienced.
You did an audio book version of Lolita in which you read the complete unabridged book in a series of eight cassettes. And I'd like to play an excerpt from your reading of Lolita. And I thought I'd go for something from the preface of the book, which is very funny. It satirizes both the moral attacks against the book Lolita, and it also satirizes kind of pretentious defenses of the book. It's written in the voice of a critic who has been asked to edit Humbert Humbert's memoir after Humbert Humbert has died in prison while awaiting trial. And so I'm going to skip to like the middle of this preface to Lolita, read by my guest, Jeremy Irons.
This commentator may be excused for repeating what he has stressed in his own books and lectures, namely that offensive is frequently but a synonym for unusual. And a great work of art is, of course, always original, and thus, by its very nature, should come as a more or less shocking surprise. I have no intention to glorify H.H. No doubt he is horrible, he is abject, he is a shining example of moral leprosy, a mixture of ferocity and jocularity that betrays supreme misery, perhaps, but is not conducive to attractiveness. He is ponderously capricious. Many of his casual opinions on people and scenery of this country are ludicrous. A desperate honesty that throbs through his confession does not absolve him from sins of diabolical cunning. He is abnormal. He is not a gentleman. But how magically his singing violin can conjure up a tendresse, a compassion for Lolita that makes us entranced with the book while abhorring its author. As a case history, Lolita will become, no doubt, a classic in psychiatric circles. As a work of art, it transcends its expiatory aspects. And still more important to us than scientific significance and literary worth is the ethical impact the book should have on the serious reader. For in this poignant personal study, there lurks a general lesson. The wayward child, the egotistic mother, the panting maniac, these are not only vivid characters in a unique story. They warn us of dangerous trends. They point out potent evils. Lolita should make all of us, parents, social workers, educators, apply ourselves with still greater vigilance and vision to the task of bringing up a better generation in a safer world. John Ray, Jr., Ph.D., Widworth, Massachusetts, August 5th, 1955.
That's Jeremy Irons reading from Vladimir Nabokov's Lolita, and he has an eight-cassette audiobook version of it. What was it like for you to read the unabridged Lolita for a book on tape? It's a lot of reading, and it's a lot of extraordinary language to read.
It was strange. I was originally approached to read it, and I said, how long is this going to take? And they said, oh, a couple of afternoons. And I said, but is that the whole book? And they said, no, we do the abridged. And I get very impatient with people who record and sell abridged versions of books. And I said to Dmitri, Nabokov's son, and to Nabokov's agent, I said, why are you allowing this? Nabokov wrote a book of a certain length. We're not all asking the audience to read the book. We're asking them to sit and do nothing but listen. Surely it's not too much to ask them to listen to the whole thing. Why can't you sell the whole book? We're selling these authors short. We're selling, you know, do Jane Eyre shortened, do this shortened. Why? I felt it was not faithful to the author, and indeed, they said, well, it's difficult to sell. I said, well, come on, it's difficult to sell. You can find a way to market it. And indeed, when the book came out, many of the reviewers, you'll remember, said how wonderful it was that it was in its full length, and how more books should be recorded at their actual length. How was it to read it? Well, it's quite long. And there
are a lot of the sentences are quite long too.
Yeah, and there are areas of it which are not great writing. I mean, there are passages which are just sublime, because Nabokov, this was his first book in English. He'd written all his other books in Russian, and he came to America and he fell in love with America. He fell in love with the youth of America, the youngness of America, with the vulgarity of America, with the excitingness and the brightness of America. And in a way, those qualities are reflected not only in how he writes about this story, because Lolita is a road story, really. They travel through America together, but also in how he wrote about Lolita, who embodies the young country of America, the brashness, the vulgarity, the cruelness, the seductiveness, and. So he reflects this in his language, because rather like Tom Stoppard, who was not, English was not his first language, like Nabokov. And so when you read their writing or hear their writing, you realize they're having a love affair with this language. This is not something they take for granted. This is something they have met and have fallen in love with as a language.
Jeremy Irons, were there many lines from the actual book of Lolita that were interpolated into the screenplay?
Stephen Schiff, who wrote the script with Adrian Lyne.
And I should mention that Stephen Schiff, who used to be film critic on Fresh Air, just so we get that.
That's right.
Mentioned.
He altered many of the lines, and I was always on the telephone to him saying, why, you know, Nabokov wrote this, why have you changed that line? Why have you written that? Why don't I say Nabokov's line? He said, try saying it. And I would do so. And strangely, Nabokov's dialogue doesn't work to the ear. It seems strangely stilted. Although it works wonderfully on the page, there is something about the fact that he was a foreigner writing in this new language, which, although it makes it wonderful to read, when you try to speak it and sound colloquial, it doesn't ring quite right. And so, although there are some voiceover passages, which is accurate Nabokov, the dialogue within the movie, that very little of it is actually what Nabokov wrote, although the meaning is the same. But Stephen Schiff has just given it a slight change to make it sound more natural.
Jeremy Irons stars in the new film adaptation of Lolita, which has not yet been picked up by an American distributor. He'll be back in the second half of the show, and we'll do a little retrospective of his career. This is Fresh Air.